Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is the Chris Miles Money Show. I am your host, Chris Miles, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. I'm excited today. We've got a great show here for you right now. We're going to be talking about a topic that sometimes can be a little bit controversial with people. This is one that when usually you hear the whole story behind this and you really understand the context behind this, it's been very rare I've had anybody really disagree with being able to make this work. And so this is a big part. I mean, the topic of debt is such an emotionally charged topic for people. It's one I get asked very often. But it's also the one of those topics that people have some of the best results in, too, in one of those areas. So I'm really excited for this show. I mean, this is one I've been looking for weeks just to do for you guys. I definitely recommend you listen to some of these previous shows because a lot of the things that I'm teaching today tie right back into some of the previous shows, like the principles of wealth, both parts, are critical if you want to really understand debt properly, understand the whole role of it. You know, one thing I just want to mention, too, is make sure you go visit our website, moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. You go check us out. We got great blogs each week. I've got events that we have going on, great things on there, great information. So if you want to keep your study going, keep learning, this is a great place to be. So let's talk about debt, huh? So let's talk about this fun topic. This is one that, like I mentioned, is an emotionally charged topic. And so I want to put this into the right perspective because what we see taught out there today is that debt is bad. Debt is evil. You cannot ever be financially free with debt. You can never, ever be able to be in a real good place unless debt is gone. In fact, you can never enjoy life a lot of times unless debt is gone. And the only time that some people might enjoy while having debt is because they're using it in a way to just have fun, right? And so I want to bring this in the proper context because, you know, this I really want this to make the theme of this entire show, which is that debt is not good or bad. Debt is not good or bad. In fact, it's just like money. It's not good or bad. It's either a tool for good or it's a tool for pain, one way or the other. You know, and what I want you to really understand with this, too, is that, you know, paying off debt is not a principle. It's a strategy. If you recall from our previous show that there's a difference of principles and strategies. Principles never change, but strategies do. Strategies can change the time and circumstances. Paying off debt is a strategy, not a principle. Now, one perspective you need to understand emotionally with this is that you got to understand that debt is not to be feared. It's to be respected. It's not to be feared, but it's to be respected. So I'll give you an example. You get a lot of financial experts out there that teach you that debt is bad, it's evil, get rid of it. You can't essentially enjoy life until it's good. It's usually about something to the effect of that you're going to see them say things like, you know, you got to get angry and pay off that debt. You just got to get angry with yourself and just enough's enough and you just got to be sick and tired of it and all that kind of stuff. Now, you remember, we talked about scarcity and abundance mentality. That kind of mentality of getting angry and fearing debt and hating debt, is that an emotion of scarcity or is that an emotion of abundance? You know, when you get in that kind of mindset, do you really make more money? Do you really get yourself in a better financial position when you get emotional like that? Of course not. Scarcity takes money out of your pocket. It pays you nothing. In fact, it costs you money to be in scarcity. So we got to respect debt for what it is that it's neither good nor bad. However, it can either be a help or a hurt. It can either help you or hurt you, depending on how it's used. So let's get rid of the principle of debt. If you were to ask yourself what the definition of debt is in your own words, what would you say? Now, if you're like most people, you would probably say something to the effect that it's when you owe anybody money, correct? It's like, I owe somebody money. Like, when I owe money, that's debt. Now, I want you to think about that definition a little bit, and where else can that be applied? When do you ever stop owing money? You know, think about it. Do you ever stop owing money for groceries? Do you ever stop owing money for taxes? How about utilities? Do you stop owing money for just even simple things such as gasoline, right? Do you ever stop owing money ever when it comes to even upkeeping your house? Even if you have a house that's completely paid off, is it really ever paid off? Sure, you may not owe any money on the house itself, But do you have to pay for the upkeep of it? Do you have to pay for the property taxes? Do you have to pay a lot of times for replacing things inside that house? Because they do wear down over time, right? You're always owing money. And what happens, one of the fundamental flaws that people have when it comes to debt is, even when it's paid off, they do feel elated for a moment, but they start to realize pretty quickly that in life, they're really not financially free. They don't feel much better. You know, I've seen a few extreme cases out there where people say, I'm living the life that I love, I'm traveling, I'm doing this and this and this, and that's fantastic. Great for you. I will tell you, the majority of Americans, even when they become debt-free, never get in that place. And even if they do, I wonder if some of the times that those people have their own hidden agendas, and that's why they show that kind of stuff, right? You know, they're showing you that they're enjoying the real life because they're probably telling you, here's how I teach you to become debt-free, and then they have their own program, and that's what they pays for those vacations, not actually because they became debt-free. There's just a big difference. And so from abundance mentality, you don't look at debt that way. You don't look at it as something that's evil, and you can't look at it as something that you just owe. Granted, there are loans. You need loan money to pay for something. But remember, if you look at debt as something when you always owe money, you will always feel in bondage. You will never become financially free because you'll always have to pay out money. And the reason I know this is because I've had hundreds of clients that have actually done this, and then all of a sudden they come to me and they say, all right, well, I don't feel much better. Or, yeah, okay, great, I got to zero. I'm now debt-free, but I have nothing to show. I have no real assets or I have no real savings. And so therefore, I feel like I'm still stuck to have to keep working and working. And that's true. I mean, that's why. It's not about the debt. Like I said, debt can be good or bad. Now, depending on who you are, who you're being, this will make a big difference. So for example, remember I mentioned before about, you know, being a good steward, being a wise steward. You know, usually you can't bless them with enough money. Usually they'll be wise whatever they're given. Now, people that aren't wise stewards, those that are in scarcity, those that I refer to as the consumer mentality, those people are actually going to be more broke, with or without debt. But to give you an example, now let's just use the debt as an example. We can go forever on this, and we've already covered a few shows on this topic. But let's talk about how you react to debt. Now, in the scarcity spectrum, you've got spenders and savers. On the spender side, you also have gamblers, if you recall. On the saver side, you even have hoarders, people that hoard money and can never save enough or accumulate enough. Now, if you give a saver or hoarder money or give them debt, they're going to freak out. They're going to feel like that's going to stop them from accumulating more money. They feel like they're taking money out of their pocket. So it becomes an emotion of scarcity for them. Debt does not become a good thing for them. On the other end of the spectrum, the spenders, they want to blow it, right? And so they're obviously not using it for good purposes. And they're going to feel in bondage as well. They're going to feel guilt, and they're going to feel bondage with it. Now, a steward, they understand that, again, you're always in debt from the definition most people have. You're always owing money. The question is, what's the most powerful use of your money? Do you use the cash that you have on hand that possibly could put you in a bad spot, or do you use somebody else's money? We're always using money. Do we loan it from ourselves, or do we loan it from somebody else? And there's good times, there's bad times for it. So when it comes to debt, you know, when it comes to someone who's a steward, they realize that the money, the debt itself is not the bad part. It's just how it's being used. So, for example, you know, I actually got a $25,000 loan from the bank. And I remember that payment was $126 a month. Now, if I would have just used that and just blew it, just used it and that's it, never got used for anything productive, that would be bad, right? Now I'm owing $126 a month. I have nothing to show for it. But what if that $25,000 was used for your schooling, for your education, to get you a better job, to get to higher pay? Would that be worth it? With that $25,000, like what I use it for is put into my business and use that to increase it. Because, man, as long as I can make at least $126 a month, I've won. You know, even if I have to owe the $25,000, the thing is, even if I have the $25,000, why wouldn't I want to leverage somebody else's money, put their money at risk, and then be able to use that money? And especially if I know I can get a good return on it, why not use somebody else's money and then leave my money free and clear to use if I can't get access to more money? You know, and think about it this way. If debt were so evil, why do banks have so much of it, right? I mean, why would they even take your money in savings if it were so bad? I mean, think about it. A bank, you know, if you go in – I mean, have you ever had a bank call you up and say, you know, you guys have been great, you know, great, you know, clients of ours for the last few decades. We've loved having you as a client. But you know what? We just hate being in debt to you. We hate having to pay you interest in your savings account each and every month. In fact, do you know how much we have to pay over your lifetime in interest? It's horrible. We can't sleep at night. We feel like we're in bondage. We feel like we're stuck, and we're just getting mad and angry by owing you money. We feel like we're in bondage to you because you're our master. So therefore, take your savings account back. We can't handle it anymore. Just take it back. We're done. Please, just take your savings money. We don't want it. Have you ever had a bank tell you that? Have you ever had a bank say, you know what, we just hate debt, you know, and besides, you know, people told us on the news that debt was bad, so we're paying all back. We don't take any more in savings anymore. Have you ever heard a bank tell you that? Have they ever called you up and said that? Well, of course not. Why would they? Here's the reason, because they know how to be a good steward of their money. You know, granted, there's a few banks that don't know how to be good stewards, and they became over-leveraged, right? But a lot of banks, they can legally loan out anywhere from 6 to 10 times the amount of money that you give them. And they're still in business. They're still doing pretty well, even without bailout money. So why? Because they know how to be good stewards of that money. They know how to be wise with it. It's the normal consumer mentality, not the creator or steward mentality. That consumer mentality where people either spend or save, those are the people in scarcity that will do poorly with it. They'll have a hard time. Maybe they'll do okay with it. Maybe they'll get lucky. But for the most part, it becomes a thing of bondage. But when you come from a steward mentality where you know that you can, none of this money is yours in the first place. Do you realize that any asset that you have is not yours? Do you realize your house is not yours? You do not own your house even when it's paid off. You don't own your car. You don't own anything. Because once you leave this life, it's gone. It's not yours. It never was. I mean, if that were the case, why didn't the pharaohs of Egypt all of a sudden say, oh man, like I am awesome? You know, they might have said that before they're dead, but come on, what happened to their wealth afterwards? Did they get to keep it? Did they take it with them? No. It ended up in somebody else's hands, right? Your money will end up in somebody else's hands. Therefore, you're just borrowing money while you're alive. You are a steward of the money that you're given. You're in debt constantly just for anything that you owe or own, really, for that matter. Do you understand that? And so really, none of it's yours anyways. The real question is what, even if you were debt-free, the real question is what are you going to do with the money that you have while you're here on this planet? Are you going to use it in a wise way that helps increase and make the world a better place? You're going to consume it. Because even if you become debt-free and then all your whole focus is just living off money and just consuming it, not using it in productive ways to add more value to the world and to, in fact, increase your means rather than just decreasing it by just, you know, spending down your money over time because you're a little that's living off your the rest of your life. That's not how it's meant to be. It's meant to be used in a way to bless people's lives. How are you going to create a legacy on this planet? And I bring this up because you've got to understand that you're always in debt. Always. This is why people never become financially free when they're debt-free. Because it's against principle. It's a strategy. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pay off your debt. I just want you to understand the real context that, you know, that the reason why you pay off your debt is more important than paying off your debt in general or just doing it or just getting mad or angry about it. It's about the purpose behind it. Is it actually helping you become more productive, a better steward? If so, awesome, let's pay it off. My personal goal is to pay off all my loans, all my debt. I might change my mind. I might change my opinion because I might say, you know, there's some loans or some money that I'm just too productive with that money otherwise than to try to pay it off on a loan because it would cost me more money than make me. That, you know, that might be a good reason. So even though my current goal might be to do that, again, it's a strategy, not a principle. So I might stay with that plan and pay off all my loans and all my debt at some point. And I'm definitely going to do it a different way than what's taught out there. I'd like to do it where there's a lot more in savings than just using all my savings to pay off debt. I don't like that principle, that strategy at all. It's a very, very dangerous strategy, in my opinion, from what I've seen in my experience. But, you know, the thing is, I might say, no, I don't want to go debt-free because things might change. And that's the thing, is that you got to be open to the fact that it's just a strategy, not a principle. Here's the real principle behind debt and why to pay it off. Remember, I mentioned about stewardship. The thing is that there's a principle behind debt, which is live within your means, right? Live within your means. You've heard this time and time again. What does that really mean? Well, it means that you have more income than expenses, period. Or essentially, you go and produce more money than what you're consuming of that money, right? You produce more than what you spend. You bring more money in income than what you spend out. That's why I always talk about cash flow and positive cash flow. It's to live within your means. When people start using debt or using money and it gets them to not live within their means, then it becomes a thing of bondage, does it not? In fact, think about it. What's the thing you really fear about debt? Is it really the debt, or is it more the payments that you're obligated to each and every month? And if you don't make those payments, then there's threats of being able to get wages and take money away or whatever it might be. Isn't that what you're really worried about? I mean, for example, if you're paying a loan $1 a month and that's all they required of you, would you really care much about paying it off? Or would you probably take your time in paying it off? You see my point? It's more about the cash flow. It's about the payment than it is about the balance. And that's why debt can be a very wise thing to do when you go and pay it off, is that it's got to make sense. It's got to be able to put you in a better situation. So it's to help you live within your means. So if you're living outside of your means and going into debt, yes, that's bad. It's horrible. And don't ever think I'm ever promoting that. If you're using debt in a way that increases income and actually increases your cash flow so that you could even pay it off faster, awesome, great. That could be a good use of it, right? And by the way, if people that were so anti-debt, especially those that follow certain people in the media, you know, if they were so against it, why don't they become debt-free? Here's the real definition of debt, by the way. Debt is when you have negative equity. Negative equity. If you're looking at accounting terms of debt, debt is when you have more liabilities or money that you owe than what you own in assets. So when you owe more than what you own, that much is in debt. So I'll give you an example. If you have a house that's worth $300,000, but you only owe $200,000 on the mortgage, you have $100,000 of equity, correct? But what if it was like a few years ago where we were upside down in our homes, a lot of us were, where you owe $300,000, but it's only worth $200,000? Now, you wouldn't say you have negative equity. You would say you have $100,000 of debt. Not $300,000. That's not the loan balance. That's not what you have. $100,000 of debt. How much would you have to owe if you sold off all your assets? If you sold off everything, what would be the bill that's left over? That is debt. Now, if you sold off everything, all of your assets, everything that you had, and you would have no money left to owe, then you have equity, right? And therefore, you would be technically debt-free. Let me explain that again. When you have equity, you are debt-free. Because if you can sell off all of your assets at any time and pay off all your debt, you technically, on a balance sheet, are debt-free. You're not liability-free. You still have loans, right? But you are debt-free. Many people don't understand that a lot of Americans are actually debt-free that still feel like they're in bondage to debt. Well, if it's that bad of a situation, if debt really were so bad, why don't you sell off everything? Why don't you sell off your house? Why don't you sell off all your cars, you know, and just go and rent everything? Why don't you go live and rent? Why don't you sell off all your furniture and everything? I mean, if it's really that bad, if it's so bad, you should be getting so mad and it's so evil, why aren't you selling off every single asset you have to become debt-free? Is it possible because that maybe becoming debt-free isn't as important to you as you thought? Maybe there are some things that are worth more to you than just being debt-free. The only problem is you've been applying common sense subconsciously, and the people that are financial experts are making you feel guilty for using common sense. Because, yeah, you probably don't pay off your house because you know that you get great advantages by having your own home. And you know, obviously, the house will be paid off anyways, potentially, right? So what's the big stress? I mean, again, it's always come back to cash flow, right? I hope this is sinking in. And, again, this is not – please don't think this is either or, that it's just about – you know, living La Vida Loca here and going into debt. Remember that you got to have the balance point. The saver mentality, which you hear in the media by those people, the scarcity mentality is pay off your debt, it's bad, get rid of it. On the flip side, you might have a few people out there, probably not in the media as much, maybe in commercials media, but not so much in financial media. You have people saying, blow it, right? You deserve it. Live life. I'm not talking about that extreme either. Come in the middle. The middle, you know, you hear about Dharma, like that middle path. That middle path is where there really is abundance. And that's where you come in as a wise steward saying, I know that debt, I don't fear it. I respect it for what it is, that it can become a tool for good or it can be a tool for slavery or personal bondage. I'm only going to choose to use it for purposes that are going to actually improve my situation, improve the world around me. That's it. Is this making sense? So I hope you understand I'm not encouraging debt, but I want you to understand what debt really is. And then, in fact, the only way to become financially free, even if you become debt-free, is to understand from this perspective. And the cool thing is even when you're paying down your debt, at least you're going to enjoy the ride. And I hope you don't mind. Now I've defined what debt really is. I want to actually start calling it liabilities or loans. paying off your loans, paying off those liabilities. That is where it makes sense. So this last segment of the show, let's talk about what loans you do actually pay off and which ones you don't, because there is a balance point. Now, just so you know, because of who you are as a steward, it just depends. Everybody is different. Everybody has different potential of how they can make and use money. You know, for example, some people that might work just, you know, the 9-to-5 jobs might have different options than someone who works in a business, and that's fine. So let's talk about this. Remember I mentioned the thing that really creates the most fear, and especially my hundreds of clients I've worked with that have had debt or had loans or liabilities, right? Those people, it's not the loan balances that they fear. They might say it is, but in reality, it's the payments that really stress them out, not the balances. So let's talk about that. One way, of course, you can manage that and control it is by refinancing. You'd be able to get your loan payments down. This is a wise thing for, I would say, just about anybody, unless you're in that scarcity mentality, especially if you're a spender. If you're a spender, I probably would prefer you to pay it off faster. But if you're a steward, you want to get those payments down. Why? Well, think about it. I mean, have you ever had months where maybe there was a month that wasn't so good? You know, maybe it wasn't so good in income, or maybe you had a lot of expenses. And especially if you're in business, you've seen income go up or down. I mean, I don't know of any business owner that ever has income going up in a straight line. It just doesn't happen, you know. But we do have ebb and flows, right? We have good months, we have bad months sometimes. The key is that if you think about it, think about kind of like a, you know, a line that goes up or down with your income, right? It's going up and down month to month. Now, on the flip side, your expenses might go up or down as well. Ideally, we want the income higher than your expenses, right? What we don't want is when your income dips that your expenses are higher, and that creates stress and worry, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. When you all of a sudden you owe $500 more that month than what you're making or bringing in, it's not a very fun place to be. It's even worse, like in my example where I was in the whole $16,000 a month. By the way, when I used that example, I actually wasn't – that wasn't all debt payments. Even if I was debt-free, I would have still been in the hole thousands of dollars a month, but between my business and my personal life. And so I want you to understand that it's the payment that causes the stress, right? So the cash flow. So when we talk about refinancing, people say, why would I make my loan term longer? Why would I do a 30-year mortgage instead of a 15-year? Well, for the same reason, is that we want to have control and freedom. Now, if you're a wise steward, you're not going to just go and blow the money and make it worthless. You're going to use that money productively. You might use it to put back in your business and make more money so that you can pay off the debt faster. You might use it to go and do some real estate stuff. Even if you're an employee, you might think of doing real estate investing as a good thing. You might just use it to apply to your loans anyways. But the cool thing is, even if you put it back on your loans, if you made, for example, let's say you wanted to make a 10 or 15-year payment on a mortgage, and maybe you wanted to do that mortgage, I would usually recommend going with a 30-year mortgage, pay a teeny bit more in interest, but then turn around and make a 10 or 15-year payment to that mortgage, presuming you've got plenty of savings in. And by the way, don't buy into that stuff that says you don't have to have $1,000 in savings to go and keep in savings before you pay off your debt. That's way, way, way too low. That might have worked in 1950 when $1,000 meant something. Nowadays, $1,000 is not even enough as a baby step. Most likely, you need probably at least $3,000 or $5,000 even to get started. And sometimes I have people that, because of where their peace of mind is, they might need more than that before they really get aggressive paying off their loans. So I actually personally believe you should have a lot more in savings than what a lot of people teach out there before you get really aggressive paying off all those loans. So anyways, getting back to loans again, you can always make a 10 or 15-year payment, but at least you're not committed to it. Because if you run into a bad month, what if you get laid off from your job? What if you have a bad month? What if you have some unexpected expenses that arise? Oh my gosh, imagine that. I mean, if you have expenses that came up, and maybe there were a lot more than you expected, it was one of those surprises, because that never happens in life, right? One of those surprises comes up, you do not want to be committed to a 10 or 15 high mortgage payment. You don't want that. You want something that's a lower mortgage payment so that if you had a cash flow crunch, you could still say, great, I'm not going to have to charge up a credit card because my payments are so high. I'm going to turn around and just make a minimum payment this month and then go right back in the next month or so to making those high payments again. Does that make sense? So you could still pay with the way you pay, but you might want to refinance. Now, outside of that, one other thing too to do as well is if I'm looking for what debt to pay off, what to prioritize, you know, I actually use a method called cash flow index. Now, I don't have a ton of time to go into the mechanics of that, plus I'd rather show it to you. That's why I do events, because I can show it to you a little bit better and more effectively. But here's the basic premise, is that when I look to pay off a loan, and this is something I learned when I was going through my big cash flow crunch, is when I want to pay off a loan, I want to pay off the one that has the lowest balance with the highest payment ratio. Lowest balance with highest payment. So, for example, you know, if I've got two loans, both at $5,000 a piece, one of them is I'm paying $100 a month, the other I'm paying $400 a month. If I only had $5,000, I'm going to pay off the one that's $400 a month. If I can only pay off one, I'm going to pay off that one instead of the $100 a month one. Well, why? Because when you create cash flow frees up, like I mentioned before, when you free up cash, cash flow creates options, and options create more freedom. So even if that credit card, even if that was a credit card $100 a month, which is pretty normal for a credit card at $5,000, $100 a month is pretty typical for a credit card payment. I would even if it was a higher interest rate of 16, 18, 20%, and then the other loan was maybe 4%, like a car loan, 3 or 4, heck, I'm going to go with that car loan. I'm going to go pay that car loan off because if it's $400 a month versus a $100 a month credit card, I will pay off that car. The reason being is because if I can pay that off, now I've got $400 to choose what to do. One, it creates more safety that if there is a bad month of higher expenses or lower income, I'm okay. Imagine if you had to keep paying that $400 a month payment in those months. See, common sense would tell you, well, no, I don't want to pay off the $100 a month one because if I do, yeah, sure, maybe it has higher interest rate. But what happens if all of a sudden I don't have the cash flow to pay for it? I'm going to have to go to a credit card anyways or deplete all my savings and my peace of mind, which in business especially, if you get rid of your savings, your peace of mind, you also lose money in your business. Because whenever you lose peace of mind, you get more into scarcity, it costs you money in your business, sometimes thousands of thousands of dollars, and it kills you. So you don't want to do that. So pay off the one that's $400 a month, and then you can always apply that $400 extra onto that credit card, couldn't you? And then make a $500 a month payment. Either way, if you were going to roll it down to the next loan, you would be paying $500 a month. The difference is, though, is that if you have a bad month, now you're only committed to $100, not $400 a month. Is that making sense? So you want to pay off the one that has the highest payment with the lowest balance. And so that's the ratio I use when I look to pay off loans. I mean, I've had some people that they're paying on loans or they're trying to spread out to all the different loans. You know, definitely don't pay extra payments to all of your loans. Focus on one at a time. Oh, by the way, quick little extra bonus tip here. You know, if you have things like a mortgage or a car loan, maybe that's the next one you want to pay off. Don't pay extra payments to them. Save it up in savings. And then when you have more than enough in savings to pay it off, I would say even more than what it requires to pay it off, then pay it off in one check. Reason being is that when you pay extra to a mortgage or a car loan, the payment doesn't go down. You don't free up any cash flow. All you're doing is you put your money back in the bank's hands, and if you ever want that money again, you can't get it, can you? You can't go into a bank and say, hey, I just paid an extra $500 last month. I really need that. Can I get it back? The bankers will just laugh at you and say, no, it's our money. Thank you. And that's it, right? Where you got to apply for a loan to get more cash out. And so you don't want to do that. Credit cards are great. I love credit cards because as you pay them down, the payments go down too. So I do like paying extra to those each month, but not to installment loans or loans that don't go down in their payments if you pay them down. Student loans are another good example. So anyways, that's how I decide what to pay off is which one's going to give me the most, free up the most cash, the least amount of dollars invested for me. Now, sometimes if you're in business, it might make more sense not to pay it off. You know, like I mentioned with my $25,000 business loan that I got, $126 a month, I didn't want to pay that one off early because I knew I could make more than $126 a month in my business with $25,000. Heck, if you can't make more than $126 a month in your business from $25,000, you probably shouldn't be in business. Or that was just a really bad idea, a bad business idea. So that's a difference. Is it all about cash flow? What about do to free up that cash, have more options? See, debt is not good or bad. It's a tool. It can either help you or hurt you. If you use it properly as a wise steward, not as a spender or a saver where it creates more scarcity in your life, but if you can use it wisely, it can be great. Now, also at the same time, as a wise steward, you also know that there's loans that cost you a lot of money, cash flow out of pocket. You want to pay those off first. Those can be sometimes your best investments to pay off. Man, I'll tell you, we freed up thousands and thousands of dollars a month for people from doing that. And the cool thing is that when you start to see the power of it and how it really works in your life, it's amazing. So remember, when you create more cash flow creates options. When you have more options, then you have more freedom. Financial freedom is possible when you do live within your means and you have greater cash flow. This is Chris Miles here, as I mentioned, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur, telling you to live and love your life, enjoy it, and be a wise steward. Thank you for your time.